Jimmy Quinlan joins us once again. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm good, Jason. How are you?
All right. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I don't watch Game of Thrones. I'm the guy without cable.
And okay,
I've
nice.
Just gotten into True Detective there, and it's pretty good last season. I'm always behind. I'm never up to date with what's going on, except for in the sporting world. I know what's going on there. So,
well, True Detective was outstanding. This year, I think Vince Vaughn's in it. I can't remember who the other guy is, but Colin Farrell and Vince Vaughn are the two guys in it this year. But
oh,
yeah,
really?
Oh yeah, great show. I loved that show last year.
Yeah, wow. I'm halfway through and it's pretty good.
So. Okay, well, I won't spoil it for you then. We'll just move on. That would be rather rude yet comical on my part. The Edmonton Rush opportunity to clinch a home floor advantage, and when it's a one game do or die, any opportunity to avoid having to go into that situation is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've been on the right side of the one game elimination there early, kind of when we first made the playoffs, and then we've also been on the wrong side. So we definitely would like to avoid that situation if possible, and we're happy that the opportunity is in our hands, and we look forward to taking care of business this weekend versus Colorado.
You guys dominated Colorado in a back-to-back set earlier this season, and they've kind of been up and down this year. Obviously, when you got John Grant Jr., they're a very dangerous team, as well as Jones. And Noble, the young rookie, comes in as well. I want to talk about him first of all. What are his best attributes in the offensive end, and who would you like to see matched up against him?
Well, first off, he's got excellent feet, so he's very quick. So if anyone was around the Rush there last weekend, he's similar to Sean Evans in the sense where he can stop and change direction and move laterally very well. So he's one of those guys that we'd probably want to put Chris Corbeil or maybe slider Ryan Dilks over there, someone who's got strong feet and is pretty quick to defend him. And then I think what also makes him quite deadly and what's helped the lefties, Jones and Grant, in particular, he's a very good feeder, and he's not afraid to force the ball into the middle, and he's got chemistry, having played on some Canadian teams with those guys. So he definitely has a different dimension that we didn't see the first time around, and we're going to have to be full value at the back end if we want to take care of business.
How has he changed their offensive set since he's come in?
Well, I think offensively they're very much the same as they were in the past, but the big difference, and it's actually scary to say, is their power play. He gives them another look. He gives them a strong right look, and then at the same time, when they decide to play two righties, they've actually been putting Adam Jones in the middle with him at the shooter spot, and so really it becomes a three-on-two up top with Junior, Jones, and the Noble kid. So he's either shooting the ball, and he's been shooting it well, or if you collapse down and cover Jones in the middle, it's an open shot for Junior, which is never a good thing. And then again, if you extend out on Junior, that leaves Jones open in the middle, and he's very good at finishing as well. I think he's got the best goals per game average in the league. So we'll definitely have our hands full, and like always, we got to stay out of the penalty box.
Your penalty kill, you talk about, you know, their offensive guys and what they can do 5-on-5. You know, on the power play, obviously, you know, possess a lot of concerns. And I know really in lacrosse, it's, you know, you need your goaltender to make some stops, but you don't want to get caught just kind of, you know, boxed in and then allow them to move around. Or is that what you want to do again? Do you want to just bunch in and force them to shoot from the outside? What do you have to do to slow down their power play?
Force you to do different things. I think for us, primarily, our concepts is we don't really want to be taking more than two or three steps out of our original position defensively. That being said, though, with Colorado, those 2 to 3 steps sometimes get extended because of the range that their outside shooters present. So John Grant Jr., he can basically bomb away from the restraining line. So those are one of those things where you kind of got to pick your poison. But for us, you know, it really gets, it comes down to our defenders willing to get into the shooting lanes and block shots. And then again, taking away far side of the net to allow Aaron Bold to see every shot that comes in. And then just, again, trusting that our guys are going to block those shots to the far side and him making those saves. So there are some finer points that we can do defensively. We've also kind of looked at a few different wrinkles here the last few weeks that have worked. And then some we've thrown out because they haven't worked. So we continue to experiment with a few things at the back end, trying to see if we can kind of keep the offense off balance or a little bit on tilt where they don't know what's coming next.
Jimmy Quinlan joins us. Derek Keenan talked how, you know, he feels the team's better with a 9-7 rather with a 10-6. I know when it's 10-6, Jimmy, you have two set groups of defenders. When it's 9-7, you got to rotate a guy in every now and then. But he feels it's been better as a team. You run the back end. Why do you feel it works better 9-7?
It's bizarre. I like the 10-6, and I thought we were very good the first time we went to it in Toronto. We had a lot of jam, and we were able to kind of push the pace. But since then, for some reason, our two groups haven't been great. We've actually been better, I find, in the games when we're 10-6 and we're just rolling anybody and everybody. And I don't know exactly what that is. I know that when we go to 9-7, we do have a lot of legs offensively. And we got a lot of versatility up there with Jared Davis and then Marty Dinsdale, the kid we picked up at the deadline from Calgary, has been very good at going back and shutting off transitions. So I would answer your question with saying that probably the reason we're better with 9-7, and to be flat out honest with you, is that it allows us to get the Rubish and the Midski and the Dilks and the Corbeil on the floor a little bit more. And I think anytime you can get your better players on the floor more, it makes you a little bit better. So it's bizarre. I don't understand or don't get why we haven't been good with the 10-6. We have been at times, but again, it seems to be something that maybe we're lacking chemistry or familiarity with each other when we're playing in those sets.
Jimmy Quinlan, defense coach of the Rush, joins us. Jimmy, you had Midski move over to the opposite side of the floor, and I know that happens every now and then, but obviously it was against Sean Evans the last game. What did you think about that? And do you think it's something you might move guys out and look for better matchups different times now moving forward?
Well, I liked it. I mean, you look at the stat line, and I think you might say he didn't do a very good job because Sean Evans had a goal and 7 assists, but I think 5 of those assists came in special team situations, you know, 2 shorthanded where we just didn't do a very good job overall, and then 3 on the power play. So I thought he did a very good job. I think it's something we look to do more, and it is primarily one of those things where it depends on what the other team brings to the table. So with Calgary, they you know, possess a lot of the ball handling skills over on their right side with Evans and Dixon, so it made sense to get Midski over there because at times we felt like they just weren't being utilized enough on their lefties because their lefties kind of play a lot without the ball. Colorado's the opposite, so Colorado kind of seems to run their ball through Jones and John Grant Jr. over with their lefties, which matches up well for us because, you know, that's where Rubish and Midski and Dilks, those guys are accustomed to playing. So for us, I think as we move along here, I think it's just going to be more matchup dependent, and we're not a team that's big on matchups. We're more on playing our system, but I think we liked what we saw there against Calgary moving Midski over, and it's something that we plan to do this week, Dilksy moving over to cover the Noble kid when possible.
The importance of that bye week, Jimmy, being a former player, not removed from it, how crucial is that, do you think, for your team to finish out, you know, you play this week and then you got 2 more weeks, but then you would have that bye week. I know you went through it last year. Are you a fan of the bye week, or would you prefer to play through it?
Well, it's circumstantial for me. I mean, I think right now at this point with the number of guys we have that have some minor injuries, it's coming at a nice time, but at the same time, I think if you've got momentum, you want to keep that rolling. So I think for us last year, it didn't really make too much of a difference because we were able to get together and practice, and I think that will be the big thing is as long as we can get on the floor during our bye week and then make sure that we're staying sharp and in tune with things, then I think that's the best-case scenario. And again, I'll take a bye week any day of the year over playing that one-game elimination.
Well, Jimmy, good luck Saturday night to clinch home floor advantage in the Western Conference and first place in the West. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's a big night for me Saturday night because the Clippers are also taking on the defending NBA champion. So,
are you a Clip fan?
I follow the Clippers in '98. Man, it's been a lot of thin years, and I honestly don't think we're good fan. I am. I don't think we're getting past the Spurs. So. I think it'll be another short-lived season for me.
The two hottest teams in the NBA going at it, you know, both 56 wins, or 56 for the Clip and 55 for the Spurs. I'm telling you, like, that's pretty tough when you can win 56 out of 82 games and then the team you play in the first round of the playoffs has won 55.
Yeah, I don't think there was anyone in that Western Conference that really got a good deal. I mean, you can say that the Golden State got one for finishing first, but the Pelicans aren't a pushover. So that should be a good round of playoffs.
Jimmy, enjoy that and your game. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Enjoy your day.